Mind-changing radio.
He said, if you can't believe in yourself enough, believe in someone else's belief in you until your belief shows up.
The power of the mind and belief. Hypnosis. It's been used to produce long-lasting change since 1843. But what is it? My next guest says hypnosis is not being asleep, being unconscious, being gullible, or even being weak-minded. Certified trainer and master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, Kip Brooks, tells us more on Self-Talk Radio Show, brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, now offering hand sanitizers and lotions in scented and unscented. Get yours at pureenergybody.com. Kip, hi, welcome to the show. And your early life, you were telling me that it wasn't exactly easy. So tell us about that and how it impacted you and moved you into working more and exploring hypnosis.
I was having basically the suicidal thoughts at age eight.
Age eight?
Yes. And you know, people, whenever they hear that, they're like, what do you mean? It's like, luckily I was innocent enough and naive enough that I didn't know that actually ends your own life. I had no idea. Never thought about it. In that, you know, I would pray every night. I was taught, like a lot of kids, to say my prayers every night. And somewhere around age eight, those prayers changed. And I just started praying that I was like, if there's somebody up there who cares about me, please don't allow me to wake up tomorrow. And it was just that, like, I just wanted to stop existing. I had a baby sister who was born when I was about 7.5, 8 years old. And I absolutely adored her, and we had this really special bond. So by the time I knew that I could take matters in my own hands, so to speak, I was just super protective of her. And I had this belief that I was like, if I'm not here to protect her and be a shield, then all of this is going to get dumped on her. And I was like, I have to stay around at least until I know she's old enough and strong enough to go on without me, type thing.
So you were never a child.
No, and that's, it's funny that that idea has really been up a lot. I've done a few different interviews, and I've worked with a few different clients and some students I'm mentoring who are going through a certification program, and it keeps coming up in conversation. I'm like, wow, yeah, really? I actually never was, because my youngest son right now just turned eight a few weeks ago. So that's part of the reason why it's on, you know, kind of on my radar. I have three boys, and each one of them, whenever they turned eight, I would check in and, you know, internally and the, as far as how I was doing, but also like, where are they at? You know, do I see any similarities there? Has there something, you know, something I've overlooked? And when my oldest actually turned eight, I started having like mild anxiety attacks a little bit before that. I was like, what's going on? And then it dawned on me, it's like, oh, he's at that age where I remember everything was like hopeless in my, you know, the way I was seeing the world. So I got very intentional about checking in and, you know, yeah, monitoring. And, you know, some of the stuff I teach at seminars and things is reading body language and tonality and stuff like that. So I turned on the spidey senses as much as I could.
With COVID-19 and all the stress going on, how is that impacting you and your boys?
As soon as it, you know, the chaos and everything, the panic around the world started taking off, we sat down and just had a conversation with them, and you know, we explained to them and said, well, it's, you know, things are going to be a little different, and there's a lot of things that we're not sure of, you know, how this is going to play out and everything else. But it's like, and there will be some moments we're absent because there are people who need us. But it's like, you know, if you guys need anything, you speak up. If you have any questions, any concerns.
It sounds like your growing up years were dramatically different from your children's. And what moved you into hypnosis? When was the first time you actually came in contact with hypnosis?
I was in my mid-20s, so I wish that was only like 2 or 3 years ago, but it was about, you know, a little over 15 years ago, I guess. And by the time I got to my mid-20s, I had made a decision. You know, this, I found a hypnotherapist, actually, who was like 25, 30 minutes away, and the only one in my area, you know, at that time. I made an appointment with her, and when I got there, she, I wish that I could say the appointment went amazing and fixed everything, but it come to find out she had not been studying long at that time and wasn't very confident in her skills, But instead of her opening up about that, she actually just labeled me, and she's like, "Oh, I can't do anything with you. You need to go to a doctor and put on meds." And that actually sent me even lower than I was at that point. I was actually doing okay at that point, but I was just like, ah. You know, the idea of having kids was there, and I was like, I've got to do something. I spent about a year and a half, 2 years on prescription meds, 3 prescriptions at one time towards the end, all because of her. And then I realized, I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, I've been to restaurants where the cook was phenomenal. I've been back to the same restaurant and the other cook be terrible. I was like, and then started looking at, you know, I've seen all sorts of people in different lines of work who were not very good at it.
Yeah.
You know, they had a training. I was like, why am I letting this one person, this one simple experience, mess that up for me? I said, I've heard so many phenomenal things about it. And the more I researched for, you know, answers for what I was going through, the more hypnosis and like neurolinguistic programming kept coming up. There was always a belief in me what was possible, even though I was being told by all these people like, oh no, you're just going to have to manage your symptoms forever. Or, you know, it's a long healing process, and I'd had actual, you know, doctors and some therapists even tell me, they're like, as long as you've carried this stuff, you're never going to be completely healed. And like, you're just going to have to get used to being on meds and just kind of try to have a quality of life the best you can. And I was like, well, that sounds as hopeless as where I was when all this started.
What a terrible anchor to put on someone. You know, it should be, I'm getting better and better every day. I'm learning more and more about myself. I mean, those are the things you'd be looking for. I don't know who you went to, but they're really destructive. And, you know, what a great catalyst for you, and especially for our listeners. If a listener had an unfortunate experience with a therapist or a hypnotherapist, try again. Is that the advice to come away with from this?
Yeah, absolutely. It's and luckily I've always been hard-headed enough. I have there's a point where I would always, it's like I would take, you know, a beat down a little bit to a point, and then all of a sudden something would click and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to prove that my idea is right, or I'm going to prove that I can do this, or you know, or that this is possible. And the day I figure that out, I'm going to help others do the same.
Yeah.
And through those times with the doctors and therapists, like, that came back up to me. And I was like, I've got a promise to fulfill. And I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I was like, it has to be doable, you know. And I was like, I've just seen too many other things and heard too many other testimonials that are taking any excuses away I have to stay in this state.
We're speaking with Kip Brooks, certified trainer and master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming. And when we come back, we're going to find out what changed to move Kip from a victim to an advocate of change. When we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Can't sleep? Have brain fog? Try this. Sleep meditation, soothing meditations to help you stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby. Sleepmeditation.org. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer, and my guest is Kip Brooks on NLP and hypnosis. So what changed for you?
All it takes for this to work is you to believe, or, you know, trust the process and believe it. And but mostly believe it's possible for you. It's like anything else is easy. It's like those are the biggest two challenges for most people, is to believe. And the main one is that something better is there for them. I came into that through... you know, one of my mentors once told me, he's like, if you can't believe in yourself enough, believe in someone else's belief in you until your belief shows up. And whenever I was going to be a parent, and whenever I've held myself for the first time and all of that, I was like, okay, I still don't know if I can pull off what I want to actually do. I said, but I believe he can, and he can't do it right now because he's too young, but it's like, I can be the body for that. I can be the vehicle for that. And I was like, I may not be able to do it for me, but I can do it for him, type thing. I was like, and then I'll just let that kind of ride on the coattails of what I'm doing for him, and just kind of latch onto it that way. And as I got into it, it was just being able to release that heaviness and see hope. One of my company names is Demonstrate Possibility. And that's what it was. When it actually, the first time I was in a workshop doing the work and going through it, and I had thought about an event that happened in my life, and I could fully experience the emotion just like it was just happening. And it was, you know, decades before. then we went through a session in a few minutes, you know, whatever it was, 15, 25, 30 minute session. And at the end, I go back and elicit that same event. And I kind of laughed about it. Like, it went from being something that would just tense up my whole body and I was angry about, you know, it was an abusive type moment. And I went back this time and I laughed about it. And I wasn't actually laughing at the event. I was laughing at the fact, I was like, there's no trigger. There's no, I don't experience the emotion. Like, it just happened. That's it. And it's like, it wasn't cool that it happened, but it doesn't have control anymore. So I started laughing just because I was like, oh my God, this is freedom. You know, it was, I was like, this is really possible. And I was like, if it's possible for me, as messed up as I felt like I was like, then it's possible for anybody. And just threw, you know, rocket fuel on the idea of, holy crap, there's a way, you know, and it's like, and it, everything started making sense. Like, everything I'd been through, it was like, it was all to drive me to this point so that I could help others who were going through the same thing. Wow.
Yeah, from planning to end your life to planning to begin your life.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Now, are hypnosis and NLP the same thing?
So NLP was birthed out of hypnosis. Hypnosis has been around for, you know, centuries, actually, and handled just about anything. Like, NLP is very much a linguistic Swiss Army knife. I've been brought in to do sales trainings for people, and then been brought in to do phobia release with people. And to me, it's really about the same techniques. It's just using different labels with it. So, hypnosis started it, and then NLP was built out of that. And then from there, things called timeline techniques, our version of it is root cause release. That was spawned out of it. So it just, you know, it's like anything, there's an evolution. And as people get more into it and start playing with it and figuring out what is possible.
Tell me about the timeline techniques. That sounds interesting.
So it's, with ours, like I say, it's root cause release. So everything, whether we're trying to help someone, you know, lose weight or you know, have a ideal, perfect relationship, or make more money at work, or, you know, simply heal from trauma, or, you know, some phobia issue, or PTSD, anything like that. It's somewhere in their timeline. You know, Aristotle came up with the idea of a timeline, our mind stores everything. You know, it's, our minds can't tell the difference between fantasy and reality, but it does know the difference between past, present, and future. So it stores every event, every thought we've had along a timeline in some kind of order. It could be in a line. I've worked with people who said it was like in a sphere type pattern, circle, whatever. None of that really matters all that much, except for in the actual session. But we can go back actually to those events, to the original event, like where the limiting decision was made that, you know, I'm just too dumb, or, you know, I'm not worthy, something like that. Can actually go back there and go through a process and release the triggers that cause that decision, and actually install a new belief around it by using an unconscious process of going back on the timeline. And the same with the trauma, because the reason trauma gets stored is it's called a gestalt. So it's sort of like a string that holds pearls together, each pearl representing a significant emotional event, you know, something that was traumatic to us in our past. Because, you know, what was traumatic to a 2-year-old is not traumatic to an adult. But in that time, let's say, you know, you take a toy away from a toddler, you'll experience a Tasmanian devil level of emotion coming out of them a lot of times. And that can be very traumatic for them. And it gets stored because the unconscious mind's first prime directive, first job is protection. So whenever there's a significant emotion, it wants to store it because it's like, there's something here that if I learn it, I could protect me from going through it again. But it doesn't have the wherewithal to to be able to, you know, the discernment to choose between, okay, this is just emotion and this is actually learning. So it kind of scoops everything up, because our unconscious mind actually functions very much like a 4 or 5 year old. And it's a strictly emotional being. There's no logic whatsoever. Conscious mind is all logic. Unconscious mind is completely emotional. So it gets stored somewhere on our timeline with this emotional muck stored around it. And then as we stack more similar events on our gestalt, on that string of pearls, it just kind of weighs it down. And every time we elicit that memory, we're actually looking through the lens of that gestalt, which stacks all of them together and kind of creates one universal filter, memory filter, to see all of it through. And it's, our memory is actually very much impacted by the state we're in at the time we elicit the memory.
That's interesting. Now, you also have the breakthrough session. What's that all about?
That's actually what I used to specialize in the most, and that's all I used to do.
Why is that?
It's very empowering for people, very impactful in their lives. It's challenging for people to be able to actually schedule that, because it's 6, 8, 10 hour session, something like that. And we just go in, dig up, they pick an area of life, financial or career or relationships or spirituality or, whatever, one of the 8 areas of life. And we go in and we dig, and they're telling me about different areas of their, or different events in their life. And I'm looking for the patterns, because we're trying to find what's called the greater problem, which is that driving decision that, in a sense, controls every decision they make. At a conscious and unconscious level, it creates the patterns in their life, and go through, and we find that limiting belief that is, the root of everything in their life. A lot of times for people, it's some form of self-worth or whatever, and go through, and we erase all the emotional baggage. We release all the emotional baggage around it, and then usually in that the belief has changed, but if not, then there's a process for that as well, to go and install a new belief. And everything in life we have a strategy for, whether it's how you put on your pants, to how you brush your teeth, to how you pick a spouse and pick a career and all of this. And it's all based out of programming that we received at a very young age. And from age 0 to 7, we have no filter. It's called a critical faculty, basically a filter or a door between our conscious and unconscious mind that decides whether we see something as true or false. But it doesn't come in until around 7 or 8. So everything up until that point just comes in as truth, because we're just one big unconscious mind, and the unconscious mind can't choose between true or false until it's programmed to do so. So we have all these conflicting beliefs and different ideas, because if we hear something, our parents have a dinner party and someone makes a sarcastic joke that is completely false, if we're there and we hear it, we're too young, too naive, too innocent to know that it wasn't true. So, if one person says, makes a comment around us that all women are nags, or all men are trash, or anything like that, it gets stored. And as we grow up, it's in there somewhere. Now, the more times we hear it, obviously, the stronger hold it has, but it's still stored in there somewhere. And if we hear, I work with in men's empowerment a lot. Obviously, I had to do a lot of work on myself in that area to heal, past traumas and things. And so many men have all these shame issues and different challenges there, because they would hear their mom talking about, don't be like your dad, or all men are dogs, don't be like that. And we want to be good little boys and all of that. And we get these conflicting ideas that all men are dogs or all men are trash or whatever. And it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm growing into a man. And so it's, I know I was raised to be a good boy and I was taught how to do that, but I'm told that all men are simply just dogs. And, it creates this internal conflict that's going on all the time.
So how do you break that?
Well, in context of an intensive release session or something like that, we go back and dig all those up. I do it in regular coaching sessions too. I actually took the breakthrough sessions and just spread them out over a little bit longer period of time. But it was go back, elicit those, look for the patterns. Because one of the agreements I hold with clients is, like, when I get what I need to hear, I'm going to cut you off and we're going to move to something else. It's like, because I don't need the story. I'm just looking for the pattern. And I'm looking for their tonality, for little clues, kind of like a detective would do, to learn, you know, to get to the source of the crime while I'm looking for the source of the pain. And when it's been stored so long, you know, it's not in our conscious mind. Like I say, it's all in our unconscious. So as an outside party, you know, obviously, you know, we've all had it, like the idea, the story, the quote or whatever, of being too far in the picture, you know, too in the frame to see the whole picture or whatever. So a coach as an outside party, we can actually kind of see and connect the dots and see things that the client can't because they're a little too in it. And once we realize those patterns, then you know, just ask a couple of different questions specific to that and look for their responses, and they'll recognize it too. And then they'll say, it's like, oh yeah, that, you know, and it triggers something. And it's like, okay. Then we run through some of these different timeline release techniques where we go back and basically it's to put it probably way too simple is with the beauty with root cause release and other similar timeline techniques is we can't experience emotion in the future. The only future paced emotion is basically an anxiety. Like people will say fear, but it's an anxiety built off of past fears or whatever, but built off of past emotion and patterns. But if we can get the unconscious mind to go back and go before that event on the timeline, and this might sound a little out there for a lot of people, but we're basically going back on the timeline to where the event is in the future on the timeline in comparison to where we are. So it's a little bit of a time travel in our mind, I guess. And the unconscious mind will actually look at it and realize, it's like, wait a minute, that's in the future. I can't be mad about that because it hasn't happened. And I have the ability to change the events between here and there to where I don't actually end up there.
Our guest, Kip Brooks, on NLP and hypnosis, how you can work with Kip through his Brooks Empowerment Academy, when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Ready to create your own podcast? Not sure where to begin? Start with WebHelp US. They built Self-Talk Radio Show's site and the site for I Love Old Time Radio Show, now boasting over 100,000 downloads. Why not have them build yours? WebHelpUS.com. Welcome back to Self-Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer, my guest Kip Brooks on NLP and hypnosis and his Brooks Empowerment Academy. Are you able to do this work remotely, or does the person have to be present with you in order to have a breakthrough session?
No, that's the one of the most beautiful things about it. And actually, that's a fantastic question too, because I get it all the time. I actually do all my work remotely now. And one of the issues and challenges I was having with the first couple of sessions I went into when I first discovered it was that specific thing is I was going into their office and I didn't feel comfortable. You know, I had a lot of paranoia issues and trust issues. You know, from growing up, it's like I had issues sleeping. I had insomnia because I was afraid that I was going to be attacked by someone in the middle of the night, things like that. So even as an adult, like I couldn't turn my back to a door. You know, I didn't want anybody to be able to see me if I couldn't see them, type thing. And so as I got into this and one-on-one, like when I, or in person, when I'm at a seminar or whatever, and I do demonstrations with someone, I love it. I geek out actually on how smooth it goes when I'm in person. And I love being around people. I absolutely love connecting with people. But I had a client call me up once who had seen me in a presentation, and she was having a severe anxiety attack. She would have panic attacks so bad it caused her to go blind until the attack was over. I had never heard of before. Wow. I've never heard of since, but it was fascinating what the mind can actually create to get us to pay attention. And she called me up. She was, you know, her mom actually called me up, and because obviously the daughter was in too heightened of a state. And she said, can you do anything? And So yeah, get her on the phone. So ran her through a process, and the whole time I'm like, oh my God, can I do this? It's like, cause I'm good at reading body language and all that. And I was like, I use all of that in a session. And she had an amazing result, and it went quite smoothly. And as I started doing that more and more, I started studying colleagues of their results as well, and kept testing it back and forth. And what I realized over the time is very much like me. And I've experienced people who can get the same result, whether they're in person or not, doesn't matter. But so many of us have been hurt in different ways. It makes it hard to trust someone and be fully comfortable and, relaxed with someone brand new, in a weird environment, a new environment. And it goes back to our, reptilian brain. It may not even be anything that's happened consciously. It's just automatically, if we're in a new environment, some of our senses are heightened. We're put on a little bit of a very mild fight or flight type situation. So when I start working with people and they could choose their own environment, and I said, look, you're safe, you're at home, you're in your zone. I am, 50 miles away, or I've been a few thousand miles away from people, with working over the phone or through a Zoom call or something like that, which everyone now knows what a Zoom call is. That's awesome. You just have to explain it. one good thing out of COVID-19. But they are there. They know that no matter what, I can't do anything to them. If I was a predator or whatever, anything like that. I make sure to have rapport with anybody before I work with them, but still it's, people are like, this is a new technique. I've never been through it. I'm having to close my eyes. There's this weird dude in the room and I'm in this new environment, and they don't get to relax a lot of times to the same level. And that's what was happening with me. That was a huge part of it. So doing this virtually, people are able to pick what room you want to sit in, your chair at your house, you do it. And they're able to just get so much more comfortable. And it's like, if I say something you don't like, or you don't like my face or whatever, it's like, all you got to do is close the computer screen, like you're safe. And and once they realize that, they're just able to give into it so much more.
That is great. Kip, it's been wonderful learning. How do we learn more about you? Where do we find more information to work with you?
All the normal social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm constantly posting different tips and information there. And every one of them is, .com/ Kip Brooks Coach. Then also our website is brooksempowermentacademy.com. It's actually getting ready to go through a complete renovation here very soon. And people can reach out to me with any questions. Also have tons of testimonials and things of some really amazing stories that will really start to show people what's actually possible. My story look like a child's story or child's play.
Well, we're appreciative of your time. Kip Brooks, my guest on Self Talk Radio Show. And of course, we will have links to BrooksEmpowermentAcademy.com on our website, SelfTalkRadioShow.com. Kip, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I've loved your show, especially Mr. Holm, who was on, I believe, episode 40, talking about playtime. Yeah, I love his work.
Yes, he's great. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Some fantastic episodes.
Thanks.
Thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you. I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.